a John's John.
Mikey, Mikey, this ain't the kind of place you want to go to the bathroom.
See what you got in here.
You don't want to go in there, Mr. Clark, it stinks.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Botany.
Botany who?
Botany good toilets lately.
A little Saturday morning silliness. Yeah, that's another thing Rosie on the House is always good for. We're good for a lot of things. We are a home improvement radio program, soon to hit our 25 years broadcasting. Right here in the great state of Arizona with six wonderful affiliates now. You can hear us throughout the state, basically all the way from Nogales up to, you know, Calf out of Flagstaff. You get all the way into Page. So north to south, we got it covered. A little bit of east to west development we're going to be working on here. But it is open and free to the homeowners at 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. James in Maricopa, good morning, sir. How may we help you?
Good morning. Yeah, I got a quick question about sunscreens versus the tinting of the windows. I got a bid and for the sunscreens, and if I buy the tint and do it myself, it'll be like half the price. Then I hear a rumor that the tint will actually heat up and bust a seal on the window. Is that true?
Window manufacturers, to kind of protect themselves, will not guarantee. They will void their warranty if you put window tinting on. Yes. Have I ever personally seen it happen? No.
Okay.
But any third party product, like security laminates that are awesome, by the way.
They
void the warranty.
With the UV ray protection on it. It's not a privacy tint, it's just the UV protection. And then if I do the tint plus sunscreens, is that going overboard, or should I just stick with one or the other?
Not really. As it relates to, just kind of breaking down that extreme heat that obviously we've all felt through windows, I wouldn't say overkill. It might be darker than you like. Your return time on investment will obviously go up on paying for themselves. But I start with whichever one you're leaning towards first, and then if it's not enough, then go. I'm not sure I would necessarily do them both at the same time. Do one, and if you're not happy, add the other. And then if you're not happy, put a shade tree.
All right, yeah, and that's the next thing we're doing is shade trees, because there are, with this winter, the trees keep on dying out here.
Yeah. So what trees do you have now that are dying on you?
Well, I can't remember the name of the first one, but that one died. Then we replaced the two with a ficus, and the ficus froze, and then the ones that we replaced the ficus with is a chamois ash. And one is dead, except for the trunk part. You can see some coming out, but nothing up on top. And the other chamois ash, it's like half is frozen, the other half is green.
Yeah. Are you familiar with our landscape and garden hour, James?
Yes. And I was going to call earlier this morning, but I was at work. I have to work every Saturday morning.
No sweat. But I just want to make sure you've heard many other Arizona homeowners calling in saying the same thing about those same variety of trees.
Yeah. Well,
just so you know,
what I'm leaning towards is maybe a Chinese elm.
You know what? I was actually going to recommend a Chinese elm, because it is not only a personal favorite of John Eisenhower, our certified arborist. It's one of John J. Harper, our garden host, top five. It's also the new favorite tree of a guy by the name of Bobby Avery. And I tell you what, I was under three Chinese elms yesterday. I'm becoming a huge fan of them. They don't look desert, so I'm not sure they would really fit in a whole awful lot at my house, but they are a tall, a very well canopied, and an incredible shade tree. Chinese elm is, I see why John Harper and John Eisenhower really like them. So good luck. And in Maricopa, from James in Maricopa to Dennis and Deer Green Valley, all the way south at our newest affiliate.
I've been a fan for 15 years. I catch you intermittently, but it's always an interesting show.
Well, thank you.
My question today, I have called in before. I've got a 1,000-square-foot townhouse in Green Valley with a flat roof. I've owned it for 15 years. Years ago when I could get up on the roof, I can't now. I coated it once with elastomeric, gave it three coats, one coat north-south, one coat east-west, and another coat north-south. About 5 years later, I had a contractor do it, and he was supposed to do the same thing. Now it's 5 years later. I got advice. I recommended a guy, and he went up and inspected the roof, and he says, it's okay, it doesn't need it now, which to me said a lot for the guy. But he said, you've got bubbles. He wants to split the bubbles and reseal them. The problem is, you can't go three or four steps without stepping on a bubble. I don't want to put 50 cuts in my roof, and that's just an estimate, and then reseal them. Now, what's your advice on that?
And this is a flat roof with foam, and it's the seal. The elastomeric seal right now is bubbling, correct?
Well, it was bubbling from the beginning when I was up there, when I coated it the first time. And it's not a foam. It's a, you know, tar paper. And the bubbles have always been there. And it was 15 years old when I bought it.
Ooh, I was going to say for a foam you'd be okay, but tar paper, asphalt bubble. Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite as... a believer and that basically, you know, what you have, that built up roofing system. Yeah, that asphalt emulsion, it does help, and the coating is great, but I would not put 50 holes. If you were going to say it was a foam with an elastomeric coat and it bubbled, which happens when it's wet, when it gets applied, the bubbles, it will bubble. That coating, yeah, you know, I'm a believer that would be a good waterproof roof, but I would not put 50 holes in an asphalt roof. If it's not leaking, I wouldn't mess with it. Just know that maybe in the next couple years, save for a roof replacement. And yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the last thing I would do is cut holes in a waterproofing agent that's asphalt and expect to reseal it and the integrity to be, you know, 100%. So appreciate the call. Appreciate the compliments. Dennis in Green Valley, our newest affiliate, KGVY out of Green Valley, Saskatchewan. Ellen in Peoria, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I was wondering if you could tell me on the tubs where you just step in for the handicapped, the ones that can't, you know, get down in a regular bathtub. What do you think of those, and do they leak? Are they hard to install? What advice can you give me on those?
When they came out, they were, like everything, needed improvement, and they have been hugely improved, and they are great. The only thing that I think would drive me nuts about them is... you got to wait for it to drain to step out. I think that would drive me nuts, sitting there waiting for it to drain, looking at it. But what it is for anyone that's not familiar or hasn't seen it, it's exactly what Ellen said. It's if you want a tub, but you don't want to step into it, they bring the wall up to about waist height. And they've got a door, and you just open the door, and you step in, and you close it, and it fills up. And you can sit down and have your nice little tub without having to climb out, climb down, or climb out. Instead of it being sunken, it's just a step-in tub. But they're great. There's a couple different manufacturers. Clyde Hardware, I've mentioned before, has a couple on display there. I know Central Arizona and Peoria. Central Arizona has locations all over the state, but they've got one on the West Valley for you. Two great places to go look at them. I think they're great. But again, I think I would go nuts. I would climb out instead of sitting there waiting for it to drain while I'm sitting there. I'm sure that, you know, eventually they'll have 4-inch drains and built in for these tubs and new construction and seconds and or power suck it out. But right now, that's the only downside I've seen, and really not a downside if you want to be able to take a bath, which is our topic this weekend, bathroom trends. One of the other things that I jotted down while I was doing my tour, it's been a long time since I've been into a plumbing showroom. The Whirlpool Jets tubs, you know, you've got Whirl Bath or Jacuzzi Bath. One of the things that has come out that labeled and maybe is not the most sanitary thing is, you know, the water. You get in, you take your bath, you use your soap, you use your products, you clean your body. When it drains, a lot of that water will still sit in between those Whirlpool jets. So it may not be the most sanitary thing, because now the next time you go back in, you put, you've got bath water that's been sitting there since the last time you took a bath. So air now is becoming a more of a big demand. They have air and jet combos, but more and more you are starting to see these, instead of using water jets, they are just using air, forced air. So when you stop and drain, you've got no standing water. There was another thing that was really neat. It's a Sonoma Cast is the manufacturer out of California, and it's a Japanese soaking tub. It's made out of concrete, and the one that was on display was 70 gallons, so would hold 70 gallons. So what I really liked about that is you see a lot of bathtubs. I'm sure you've walked into many homes, sure. Don. You see a bathtub that's bigger than the water heater can supply hot water for. Some people end up having to put a second one in. But this was a 70-gallon tub. Well, if you've got a 50-gallon water heater, you can fill this up, because I guarantee you're not putting in 70 gallons of 120-degree water.
70 gallons is to the top.
Well, and you're not
your putting, body takes up a couple gallons,
and you're not putting in 120 degree temperature. I mean, you've got a little bit of cold water, so you can step in it and bear it. So it a standard home water heater, tank water heater could fill it. But there's a couple, and it's really it was one of the neatest things I saw. I really liked it, and I'm a sucker for concrete products to begin with. But it was 865 pounds, and it was. It was wider than majority of the doors. So it's something that you're either going to have to blow out a wall or look at.
Build my house around my bathtub.
Well, you think about that, 8,500 pounds. Add 70-gallon water weight and then the weight of a person. You've got to plan ahead for this. But the Sonoma Cast was definitely the highlight of product I saw in the research we were doing for this week. We'll be back right after this. It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning. We have one more segment coming back right after this. If you want, we may be able to squeeze you in. 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you.